Josh Felber. Welcome to Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies, secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. Welcome to the show. How are you? Actually, how are you today? A lot of people might be like, hey, just great, doing awesome, couldn't be better, I'm okay, I'm fine. Is that really true or false? Are you really happy? Are you really truly happy? And for myself, there's been several times in my life where I've just been unhappy. Several times throughout my life where I've had unhappiness in myself. But I still had gone around and people would ask, hey, how are you today? I go, oh, you know, I'm doing great. I'm fine. I'm okay. Today's good. And I was really, truly lying to myself and to them. How many of you out there are doing the exact same thing? Hiding behind that falseness, just smiling, but you're really in a great deal of pain, depression, boredom. You break down, you overthink about this. How many times have you broken down or overreacted to the most common basic things? When unhappiness is covered up by a false smile, false words, your white teeth and denial, sometimes even to oneself, there's just so much unhappiness. Just fine or I'm okay is a role that your ego plays more commonly. It happens more commonly in America than a certain number of other countries. There's actually one Nordic country, and get this, there's one Nordic country that if you go around and you smile at a stranger, you could be arrested for drunk and disorderly. Now get that, because they think, hey, the person must be drunk if they're smiling, because just everybody in the town goes around and they just have this state of unhappiness about them. Within them, maybe even. If there's unhappiness within you, first, you have to acknowledge it. You have to be aware that it's truly there. And that first step is actually acknowledging that you have unhappiness within you. And don't say, hey, I'm truly unhappy. I am unhappy. Because that's not you. You are in a state of unhappiness. You have unhappiness within you. And so by changing how we perceive or how we actually look at it allows us to actually acknowledge that we have unhappiness within us. But then it allows us to now go out and investigate the situation. What is causing this? Why do I find myself in this state of unhappiness? And you may be able to figure out something that you can do for yourself. So action may be required for you to change the situation or to remove yourself from it. If that you're unable to do this, then you must accept and acknowledge and face the fact that you have unhappiness within you. But you can choose how you deal with it. And it's only within you right now. And you can either choose to deal with it by accepting it, or you can let it make you miserable. You have the power of choice. You have that control within you to do this. The primary cause of happiness is not the situation around you. It's actually how we are looking at the situation, how we perceive the situation, and the state then that we put ourselves in, that state of unhappiness. We are aware of this and we're aware of what we're thinking, you can separate this from the situation, which then becomes always neutral for yourself. And one of the times I was truly unhappy, one of my businesses that I used to own, I ended up having to shut it down. It was just one of the hardest things that I could do at that time. it was making some great money at one point. I had then had some partners actually steal from the business, and I could either work to continue it on and keep putting in money after bad money, or bad money after bad money going into it, or I could accept the situation, even though I had some unhappiness within me at this current time, but it was initially how I perceived it. And by allowing myself to actually become neutral in the situation, I was able to step out of that, look at the reality of what it is, and then make corrections to change the course of my business, my life, and everything else. At that point, then I was able to really regain and find true happiness within myself, within what was happening out there, by how I perceived the situation, how I changed my focus and my mindset of the situation itself. And so what I want to challenge you is, stop making up stories like, I'm ruined, I am done for, I'm just never going to be able to get through this. And start looking at your situation and look at the facts of the situation. So, I am ruined is how we perceive it. I only have 50 cents or a dollar in my bank account, then that would be a fact. And so by taking looking at the actual facts allows you then to understand, change your outlook on the situation, as well as how you feel and how you then perceive it moving forward as well. So don't go out seeking happiness. Happiness is not going to find you. One of the biggest things is, happiness comes, the source of happiness comes from inner peace and within. So the sooner that you're able to accept and find that within yourself, the faster and the sooner then you can actually accept true happiness. And when you find it, it's such a beautiful thing. True happiness will help you change the world. It'll help you change your situation within your family. It'll help you change and help you grow and mold your kids in a positive, driven manner, and allow them to actually find happiness through their own inner peace and their own mindset and perception as well. So I really appreciate you taking the time to watch Making Bank today, as well as I'm excited to be able to introduce my next guest, Suresh May. And so we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I am Josh Felber and you've been watching Making Bank today.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome back. You're watching Making Bank, and I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies of the 1%. I am super excited today to have on Suresh. He is a two-time award-winning best-selling author on how to create the lifetime customers, and founder of Wealthy Weekly, a show where entrepreneurs teach you how to acquire, multiply, and keep your wealth, which is important these days. He also helps clients invest profitably in the Forex markets with his company Capstone Capital Wealth Group, and he has done multiple new business launches that have sold over $1.8 million worth of products and services in 7 days. Suresh, welcome to Making Bank.
Josh, my man, I'm so glad to be talking to you today. How you doing?
For sure, man. I definitely was glad to connect with you a few months back and, you know, excited that you were able to get on the show now.
Absolutely, man. Let's rock and roll.
For sure, man. Well, give us a little of your background. I mean, I guess, you know, when did you start realize you were an entrepreneur? Was it, you know, when you were in your little kid? Was it later in life? You know, what really kind of spurred that and got you started?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was very clear, unlike a lot of entrepreneurs who they talk about, you know, they knew what they wanted to do. I want to work for myself. I want to start a business. I was the exact opposite. before I knew what I wanted to do, I was very clear on what I did not want to do. And growing up with a single mom, she worked a lot of jobs, a lot of long hours. I played basketball growing up, and she never really got to come to many of my games. And I understood why. But as a kid, though, you know, you kind of want your parents to be around. You want them to be there.
Sure.
And so the early on, I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to have a job working long hours, you know, and I just can't be around for important memories that I'm going to have for myself. And, you know, if I have a family one day. And so now I have a son, and I think I made the right decision. So that, you know, I had no idea. I had no entrepreneurial mentors that I could look up to. I had no examples, but I was very clear from day one where the direction that I was not going in.
And that seems like that probably helped forge, though, and direct your life to where exactly you are now today, for sure.
Right. Then. Yeah, it drove the decisions that I made. And so when I got to college, in high school, I used to sell things just to kind of make money. When I got to college, I started cutting people's hair. Started out with my teammates. I used to gash them up real bad because I didn't know how to cut. But I went, like, the first $50 I got, I bought some clippers, and I can draw and paint. So I figured if I can draw a straight line, I can probably cut some hair. But that they don't really translate immediately. <That's> And so, awesome. Man, all of my teammates, we used to rock bald heads for, like, one semester. And so I did that. I got good at it. And I was doing that to kind of keep some money and cash in my pocket through college. Sure. And then when Facebook kicked off with Zuckerberg, I'm in college, you know, not really feeling like I want to be there. And I was like, yo, man, this kid, he's crushing it with this internet business. I want to do something like that. And that's when I fell in love with entrepreneurship, and I kind of figured out where I wanted to go. And so that's how I got into creating businesses online. And so what ended up happening after that, Josh, I was going to I'm still in college, but I stopped going to class. And instead of going to class, I would go to the library every single day to study business because I felt so behind. I'm like 21 at the time.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I got to catch up. Like, these other guys are making millions. I'm starting to study other entrepreneurs. I'm seeing other people dropped out of college. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to drop out too. I don't see the value in starting over to try to get a business degree. So like, okay, I'm going to go it on my own.
Well, so, and then so, you know, okay, man, what was going through your head? And, you know, did you, you know, have that, you know, did you have that fear? Or you're just kind of like that, man, I'm just going and I'm fearless and I'm just going to go make it happen, whatever I'm doing with the internet.
Yeah. You know, the only fear I had at the time was, I guess, the social backlash from family and friends who were dropping out of college. And I played basketball for so long, you kind of become identified by that. And okay, so sure. People thinking, oh, you want to play pro sports, you're going to go to college, you're doing this. And I literally got to my senior year of college and I decided that I wasn't going to go to college anymore. So, you know, that was like one of the scariest decisions that I ever made. But going into entrepreneurship, I had no fear with that. And I think that comes from my sports background. It was just like, okay, I'm putting all the chips in here. I don't have a degree. I got to make this work. And so that was my attitude. The fear, I was more afraid of failing and having to get a job and go the route that I knew I didn't want to go as a kid. So that fear drove me.
Definitely. And yeah. And I think that's probably then what fueled that, you know,
exactly.
Continued to fuel you and stuff. So what was the kind of the first company you dove into? So you're out of college, you dropped out. Now you're like, all right, now I got to do something. Now I got to make some money and prove myself.
Yeah. So the first company, of course it bombed. I started this sports social network site, right? Of course, because I was inspired by Facebook, by Zuck.
Right.
And what I didn't know and what they don't tell you oftentimes is he'd been programmed since he was like 8. And I remember, I think even in high school, he had a deal where he could have sold something he created to Microsoft for like $1 million. And so I'm thinking, oh, this guy, he's a young kid. He created this computer company, you know, in a couple of years and he made it pop off. But no, that wasn't really the whole story. So and so I started my own with sports because I played basketball and I end up working at LA Fitness that summer as a I was selling personal training memberships. So okay. I saved up like $6,000 or $7,000, end up wiring that money to this program in Australia to build this sports social network site for me. And at the time, I didn't even know that the development couldn't do what I envisioned it to do. And I know he knew that, but I was so green. But he built what I asked him to build.
Sure.
And he took my money.
Yep.
You know, so, man, I'm trying to build this site myself with Joomla. After he kind of hands me this unfinished product, I'm trying to market it, which I didn't know anything about marketing at the time. I'm calling friends, family, trying to get them to sign up. They not in the market. They don't need it. I mean, it just bombed all the way around, man. So that was like my first, my first effort at cutting my teeth with entrepreneurship. And I failed miserably, you know. But what that did, though, it taught me, one, I figured I need to kind of learn how to program a little bit. So I taught, I'm a self-taught programmer.
Awesome.
And then because I wasn't getting anybody to sign up, I said, man, I got to learn this marketing and sales thing. I got to figure this out. And so what happened at the time, I went to the mall one day and there was this bookstore going out of business and they had books. I mean, these books are gold. They're selling them for a buck, quarters, 50 cent.
Nice.
And I end up buying this book by Dan Kennedy titled How to Make Millions with Your Ideas.
Awesome.
And that book, just like most books, just kind of like what Tim Ferriss, the 4-Hour Workweek did for me, it took me down a rabbit hole to find like the guys who were the originators of thought in marketing. So sure. I started to find out about Robert Collier, Gary Halbert. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, but you know, I'm just finding these guys out and I start to study their stuff. And that's when I fell in love with marketing. And it was like, man, this is how you get sales. This is how you get users. You have to master this. And you know, those early books took me on a journey, you know, to where I am now.
Awesome. And that's, you know, and that's really cool how you kind of just realize, hey, this is where I need to have, you know, this is kind of a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little bit about it, so I need to make it a strength.
Absolutely.
Because it's something that you needed to have to grow and grow who you are and grow your entrepreneurial success.
Exactly.
And so you got, you started learning programming, you started learning all these different marketing techniques, pushed through some failures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was that next venture that you dove into? Because I saw you're a best-selling author. You know, I guess, how did that happen?
Okay, so well, right before the first business that I had that started to succeed, I actually started a supplement company, and I was selling a product called UberQuick,
okay. And
I was marketing to athletes. But the thing there, amateur athletes don't have any money, and so I literally, Josh, man, I put out a few thousand bucks in magazine ads, full page ads, which I should have been testing smaller ads first. I didn't know better, so I'm spending my money on these ads. I spent my money. I actually got another job. Oh, funny thing. What I used to do, Josh, I used to get jobs just to get the startup capital to get businesses, and then I would quit the business. I mean, I would quit the job.
No loan, just go work for a little bit.
Oh, no. I worked for a couple of months, get the money, quit the job, start the business.
Awesome.
I used to do that a lot. Like, I never had a job more than, like, 8 weeks.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, and so, man, so with the supplement company, that's when I started to get into lead generation advertisement. After my full page ads, like I was trying to get a direct sale one step, you know, they were bombing. I was getting a few sales.
Sure.
And so I was like, okay, it's working, this advertising thing, but it's another step that I'm missing. And, you know, that's when I started to dig deeper into marketing. And then when I started to do two-step, like free offer on the front end, upselling people on a supplement, then I started to do add like continuity to the supplement where I would rebuild people automatically every month, you know, and that changed the face of my business. And so I started to make money with that business, but because of the high inventory costs and just me not having the capital to keep going at the time, I actually, we got into information products.
Okay.
But the thing that I learned in the supplement industry and was selling that product was about continuity. And that's what like my book is about, how to create lifetime customers. Because continuity billing, that kind of kept my business afloat, you know,
sure.
When I was still a newbie. It's like, okay, I got $3,000 to $4,000 recurring every month. Man, but for 2-3 months, I'm not getting any new sales because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Right. But I do have these customers, though, and they paying and they paying and they paying. And that just kind of like revolutionized my thought process and my approach to business.
Cool. So, you started the supplement business. And you had these reoccurring customers from your supplement business.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were doing that, testing the different ads and everything, were you doing that online? Were you doing that offline, like magazines still? Or did you kind of move that more online?
I did it both. So I started out with Google AdWords. And this was early in the days, Google AdWords, where the clicks was super cheap.
Sure.
And so I would, spend, you know, 10, 20 bucks a day sending traffic to my site, building up a big list. But I'm still building a list of amateur athletes. And then, you know, the business didn't really change until I started to target like the weekend warrior, an older guy who had money, but he still kind of liked to hang out, shoot ball with his friends.
Right.
But yeah, I was online advertising, Google AdWords, Facebook, and magazine ads.
Cool. Awesome, man. We got to take a quick break here. Can you stick around?
Absolutely. I love to, man.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. And we've been speaking with Suresh on his internet marketing background, his failures with his businesses, and we're getting ready to hit a tipping point here, and now things are going to start to explode. Suresh, welcome back.
Ah, man, glad to have you. Let's rock and roll. I'm excited.
Cool. So supplement business, you learned a ton of internet marketing. Dan Kennedy was your first book, which is, you know, he's awesome for copy. Gary Halbert,
yes, indeed.
You mentioned some greats out there. So, you know, now, you know, what are you moving in for your next venture? You know, what are you taking your entrepreneurial skills and marketing and going after now?
Yeah, so after the supplement business, I got into info products immediately.
Okay.
'Cause that's something that Dan Kennedy and a lot of the top guys, even Russell Brunson, I know you interviewed him,
sure.
Man. I love the interview, by the way. You know, information products, you know, low-cost startup. Oftentimes, you can start with $0 and you can just sell it, you know, test the market out. Make some fast cash, you know, just by offering true value to the market. And so after that, I got into books. You know, my very first book, actually one of my best friends and business partners, he's a professional speaker. And the very first book I wrote is titled Get Excited on Purpose. And the only reason we wrote that book was because he wanted to have something to sell at the back of his speaking events. And because
nice.
Because I'm a good writer, he was like, hey, man, let's partner. Let's do this. Let's make some money. I'm like, okay, cool. It's a book, whatever. And, you know, that opened up so many avenues for me. I never imagined myself being an author, let alone a best-selling author.
Sure.
It was just something that I was doing, man, because a buddy wanted me to help him with a book. Literally. That's how I got into the book marketing game.
And then from that, is that how you kind of got to write your own book?
Exactly. So the next step, what happened, I was still – having a rough go of it, selling products online, you know, with my limited marketing experience, and I didn't have any early mentors, and I know that slowed down my process as well. And so what happened, because I was studying Gary Halbert, Robert Collier, Dan Kennedy, all these guys, and they talk about the power of copywriting, when I was jobless for a long time, I actually used to handwrite sales letters that sold millions of dollars every single day by hand.
Wow.
Yeah, in a notebook, pen to paper, just do it over and over again. I didn't have a gig, I didn't have anything else to do. And so I was struggling, but I was preparing for my opportunity. And around the time when I turned 30, I was just still, it was rough, man. Like I would make, you know, a few grand one month, zero the next, just that roller coaster ride of revenue.
Right.
I said, I need a mentor. And so I ended up writing a sales letter to 19 of the top internet marketers in the game. You know, I'm talking, I actually sent Russell one. Russell, you watching, you didn't respond to me, buddy. I still love you though. but I sent it to, Mike Koenig, Russell Brunson, Frank Kern, all of these guys. But Mike Koenig, Perry Marshall, and Brian Kurtz of Born Room Inc., they responded. And Mike responded in 4 days. He was so impressed with my letter. And so after that, Mike, he hired me to help him do some copywriting on his upcoming launch, Traffic Geyser 2.0.
Cool.
And it did 1.8 million in 7 days.
Wow.
And so after that, that's when I wrote the book, How to Create Lifetime Customers, based on my experience with that, my journey in internet marketing, the power of copywriting, and the power of recurring revenue.
No, that's exciting. What were your one or two success strategies that you were able to utilize? Because you said you're a good writer, but I've been trying to write copy. I've been trying to figure all that out. You know, maybe you can share maybe like one or two success strategies that really kind of simplifies it to be able to start to do that or start to learn that.
Absolutely. The first strategy, if you want to write effective copy, you want to think about what's in it for your customer. And the way I always tell my clients or anybody who hears me speak is think about your copywriting like a love letter, right? Think about your wife or your husband or a girl or a guy that you like. If you're writing a love letter to someone, it's all about them, you know, right?
Right.
It's like, oh, you make me feel this way. You make me happy. I adore you. It's you, 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 right? You're not saying, oh, this is about me. This is, you know, how I feel about myself. It's about how they make you feel. And the focus is on them because you're trying to woo that person. And you have to write copy to your customers that way. Because what happens, Josh, is most people, when they launch a new business, like you'd ride down the street, you know, a city block, you see signs, grand opening. No one cares, right? What's the value to the end user? Why does your grand opening matter to me? Right? What are you going to offer me? And so that's strategy number one. The second thing you want to do is you have to package it up in a way that makes it irresistible. You know, when you think about copy, if you're on the internet, someone is reading your web page, you know, you have to get that person to read every single line. Not every single line, but you got to get them down the page to your offer. And so everything you write, it should be about that other person. So you should use words like you and I, you know, like we're talking directly to one person one-on-one.
Sure.
Versus like we or you all or everyone. Just make sure you're talking to a single person. Have your avatar in mind. Talk direct to that person, and that's going to help you write copy that sells.
No, and that's some great advice. Is, you know, it is about the, I mean, you're trying to create something of value for other people anyway.
Exactly.
And so, you know, what you're doing is about them. So when you're marketing to them, it would definitely make sense then to direct that information to them and everything. So really cool. And so, you know, progressing along, you know, you got the book, you know, what did you learn from the whole book launch and, you know, and being able to, I know you've said you've had some really great success, you know, how to make a number one best-selling book and everything else. And I know a lot of our listeners are like, oh man, maybe they're on the fence about writing a book. And then, you know, once I do, how do I get it out there and how do I make it a bestseller?
Okay. Great. So first thing, if you want to write a book, I would suggest anyone write a book because it's a game changer. And I'm Josh, you have some books. And so I know you understand the power of a book.
Sure.
Like I always tell people, if you're a marketing consultant or whatever it is that you do, if one of your competitors introduces themselves and hands someone a business card and you come behind them and say, hey, I wrote the book on marketing or I have the best selling book on marketing, your competition, they cannot compete with you.
Right.
Like it's just not happening. So that's one reason why you should write a book. The second thing is when you author a book, the book isn't going to make the money for you, right? The book is just a glorified business card. That's my view on it. And so, you know, the thing that I did with my book, I used my book to get clients. And so a really cool tip, because I want to give some killer value to, you know, you listening out there, is say, let's say you write a book and you put it on Amazon, use Amazon CreateSpace. If you want to get in touch with anybody in the world at any time, this is what you do. You go to Amazon. You buy your book from yourself, and when you do that, you're going to get a royalty, so you kind of get paid for buying your own book, first and foremost. You can find out your prospects or just a mentor, or anybody you want to get in touch with, find out their address, whether it's their business address or their home address. You send it through Amazon, get it gift wrapped, and send it directly to that person. Now, when you can get it gift wrapped, they actually let you write a thank you card. So in that thank you card, you can put a little personal message with your book. And you can say, hey, Josh, I saw your show. I wanted to reach out to you. Check out this link. I have a gift for you, right? So now this is the reason why this works. If you send it out through Amazon, there's no one in the world who's getting a package from Amazon and they're not opening it.
Right.
Right. And so the biggest thing with direct mail, you know, whether you're sending out letters, postcards, manila envelopes, is getting it open or getting it past the gatekeeper.
Right.
So you send it to someone's business, an Amazon box, one is getting open. All right. So let's say, Josh, if I'm sending it to you and your secretary, they get the box before you and they see that it's gift wrap, they're not going to open your gift. So I'm going to get the box is going to get to you, Josh. It's going to get to my intended person. All right.
Definitely.
And so after that, you get it, you open it up. You're already blown away because no one is doing this. And then you see the thank you card and I direct you to a personal link where I'm on there shooting a video, talking directly to you about how I can help you with your business or, you know, maybe how I can offer some value to you in exchange for your mentorship. It's just the perfect way to use a book just to leverage that authority and that credibility to get through to anybody that you like.
Shresh, that's awesome. I mean, I think that is one of the best things because, you know, I've used like iPad minis before and recorded a video and, you know, FedExed it and stuff. You know, and like you said, it may get opened, it may not right away. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, people get that Amazon box, and you're like, huh, maybe I ordered something. Or if it's gift wrapped, even like you said, and you're like, huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they open it up, and it's just, oh, Amazon, oh. And it just, it's like a little surprise after a little surprise, and it really intrigues them and keeps them going. So
exactly.
No, that's really cool. And I definitely agree with you on the whole book thing. It is like a big business card, you know, to connect with somebody on. And I know I was fortunate enough to connect with like Brian Tracy and Steve Forbes to co-author part of a book with him and everything.
Nice.
And then now end of this year or end of 2016, I'll have my own book coming out, Making Bank.
Oh, sweet.
And so it'll be pretty cool when we roll with that. But, you know, I think you're right. I mean, everybody that if you're going into something, whatever industry that you're in, you should get out and write a book. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. Utilize that as a marketing tool. Just like you said, that's going to get you those introductions to either your perfect clients, people that you want to network or connect with that can help move you forward and everything else. So I guess the next step, we got our book, man. We wrote it. We used Amazon CreateSpace, made it real simple for ourselves. Now, how do we actually get that book and say, cool, man, I'm a best-selling author?
So, you know, the biggest thing when you want to become a best-selling author, the biggest strategy I can give you is you want to pick categories where you can dominate the competition. And so now you have to pick a category that's related to what your book is about. So if you're writing a business book or a marketing book, you don't want to pick the knitting category, right? You can't do that. I mean, you can. But if you say I'm the number one bestseller in the knitting category and you have a marketing book, like what are you doing, dude? Get out of here, beat it.
Right.
So you gotta pick a category that's related to what you're selling. So my book hit number one in direct marketing category, which was a really important category for me because I'm a marketer. Sure. And so to do that, you have to focus your sales efforts on 1 hour. Amazon updates their ranking every hour. And so, you know, it helps you. Say if you're gonna get 1,000 sales from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., that's going to increase your chances of becoming a best-selling author versus getting 1,000 sales over the course of 24 hours.
Okay.
And so a lot of people don't know that. And so when you're focusing your launch, you know, try to get everybody to buy in a very short period of time, and it's going to increase your chances of becoming a bestseller.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's what my wife's getting ready to push hers for bestseller status here.
Oh, nice.
Real quick. And, you know, and that's what we were kind of looking at. Is it that 24-hour window? Is it that hour window and everything? And so, yeah, that's definitely a good point is, hey, how do we get this and make it happen? I know we've even looked at, like, New York Times, and, I mean, that's just a whole nother level.
Oh, that's a whole nother monster, yeah, definitely.
and investment.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
So, well, cool, man. Those are some awesome marketing strategies, getting our book out there, working on to become a best-selling author and everything else. Tell us a little about, you know, you're kind of out of that area now, and what are you focused on these days?
Yeah, so I still help clients, you know, have best-selling books. I got a lot of clients that I've helped become number one bestsellers and just use the book to really build a real business behind the book. But now my focus is on investing, and I actually have a show called Wealth Weekly. It's at wealthweekly.com, and it's also on iTunes at Wealth Weekly. And we talk about entrepreneurship, investing. I'm going to have you on the show. I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah. And you know, I help clients focus on investing profitably in the Forex markets with my new company, Capstone Capital Wealth Group. And so, you know, we trade foreign exchange currencies every single day when the market is open. And we just knock it out of the park. You know, it's very similar to the stock market. But I love it, though. You know, and we're actually building a software. And it's going to be at the site cashcurrencies.com.
Okay.
And we're launching that in the next couple of weeks, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, you know, the Forex market is always interesting to me. I've done a lot of investing. And when I was actually back in high school, back in the day, I don't know if you remember AT&T and USA Today, they used to sponsor the investment challenge.
Yes.
And the very first year that they did it, I was a junior in high school. And I jumped in. I did it. We had like a little investment class at school. And I ended up placing first out of, I don't know, 20,000 people that signed up and did it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. And then and then year number two, I got second or third. I was like first in Ohio and second or third all around this.
Man, sweet.
As a senior. So I was like, oh, sweet. You know, investing. I love it. And then I started investing in stock options and kind of doing that. And then kind of got away from it for a little while. And then after I had sold my company in Dallas, I had taken that money and invested it in the market. And I had a broker and everything. But then right around that, a few years later is when all the dot-com stocks started to come out. So I started putting all the money in that, then leveraging that to buy more stuff because they were going up so much. And then it just
tanked. Yeah, it just plummeted. Yeah,
so that was kind of my whole life-changing situation. But
I've
always loved investing. I've never done Forex. Always had an interest, but just lately haven't. I wanted to segregate time for it. To know it and learn it. So,
and
I know you got an awesome system. I know we talked about it a little bit more, and you have a really awesome system based on your trading strategies and practices and everything.
Absolutely. We have it automated now. Because I think when I met you, I was actually trying to get it automated.
Yes.
I think that was one of the big reasons that Vinny invited me there, you know, just to kind of tell my story and what we had going on. But I have that software now. I got it automated. I'm so excited, man. It changes the game.
Awesome.
And so, like, now our clients, man, they're killing it. They're killing it. Because it just, you know, we went from having to sit in front of the charts to watch it manually to now get signals sent straight to your phone, you know, when the setup that we're looking for to make an investment appears. And it just changed everything.
Awesome. No, and that's really cool because I know that was a big piece that kind of you were needing to look to really take your business to that
next
level. Exactly.
Yes.
Really creating that massive momentum for yourself and everything as well.
Definitely.
So, well, awesome, Suresh. I really appreciate you coming on Making Bank today. It was an honor to be able to have you and connect with you. I think we had a lot of fun here. And I know we got wealthweekly.com. Where else can people find out about you?
Yeah, you can go to wealthweekly.com. Actually, if you go there, you can sign up to get free episodes of my show, and you can get a copy of my book, How to Create Lifetime Customers, straight to your inbox for free. If you want to go through my book funnel and see a profitable book funnel, you can go to lifetimecustomerblueprint.com. You know, you see a really cool video, and I actually give away a free hard copy of my book there. And it'll take you through a series of offers, man. So you can just kind of see how it works if you're interested in marketing books successfully.
Suresh, that's really cool. Guys, take advantage of that. I mean, if you're looking to write a book, market a book, whatever it may be, become a bestseller with your book, go check out, you know, his lifetime customer
blueprint.com
link. Sign up and, you know, follow the whole process, what it takes, you know, how he takes you through everything, the information he's given you, and how it all works. And you can see a successful marketing solution for your book out there.
Absolutely.
As if you're interested in investment, Forex, market, trading, everything, connect, you know, with Suresh's Capstone Capital Wealth Group. And they have a whole automated program now that they're rocking with. And, you know, he's got really great success strategies and practices geared just for Forex investment trading.
Absolutely.
So, Suresh, again, thanks for coming on Making Bank. It was an honor.
Josh, thank you. The honor was mine. I had a great time talking to you today, and thank you again for having me on your show.
Cool, man. Well, you have to come back another time. We'll do it again.
I will. I love to.
Cool. You're watching Making Bank. I am Josh Felber. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.